Thank you, Preston. I want to talk to you this morning about faith, about what our faith is and how we grow our faith, how we make our faith stronger. The Bible says in Matthew 9:29, it says, "Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." That tells me the stronger our faith, the more we can expect. The weaker our faith, the least that we can expect, the lesser. And I like that verse. I want to ask you today, what are you expecting God to do in your life? You know, it's a law that God established. I call it the law of expectations. And the fact is, we tend to get out of life what we expect. We tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to hear what we expect to hear. We feel what we expect to feel and accomplish what we expect to accomplish. But God says you get to choose. He says, according to your faith, let it be to you. Another important verse that I found was Hebrews 11:6. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And I want to ask you, of all you here today, how many of you came wanting to please God? You want to please God with your life. I hope you all do. I know I do. Romans 14 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. So that tells me whatever we're doing in our service to God, we should be doing it through faith. I want to look at Luke 17:5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And that made me wonder, how do we increase our faith? I know I'd like to have more faith, and I hope you would like to have more faith. And if that's what pleases God, I want more of it. But there's no vitamins that you can take to increase your faith. There's no shots. Going to seminars really doesn't increase your faith. It may make you a little wiser. Sitting in here today listening to me won't increase your faith. It may clear up some points on it, but I can't increase your faith. That's between you and God Almighty. And the truth is, God builds your faith by testing it. I believe faith is like a muscle. You know, and you strengthen the muscle in your body when you go to the gym or when you're doing work, and you're stretching that muscle out, and you're making it stronger, and that muscle's growing. And so it is with faith. Faith grows when you're stretching it out, when it's being exercised. Your faith will grow stronger. Job speaks from experience in chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. It said, what is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your heart on him, that you should visit him every morning and test him every moment? See, Job realized God's testing him at every moment. And not just Job, but us too. Every moment of your life, you're being tested by God. Last week you were being tested, this week you're being tested, and next week. Every day you have faith-building opportunities, but the problem is that most of us don't recognize them. We're not aware of that opportunity that God's put in our life. We flunk the test. Because we're not observant. We don't see that God is trying to help us grow. So God wants me to live by my faith and he wants it to grow. But just how do I do that? How does God test my faith? I have 4 points I want to share with you this morning. I believe are the 4 most common. Now there's more, but these are the 4 I think we need to look at. See, God tests our faith through difficulties. Look at the difficulties in your life, your toils, your troubles, the pain that we go through, the pressure and the circumstances that we face every day, all the stresses of life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 say, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The trials, the problems, the tribulations, the pressure you face in your life is there to grow your faith. It comes in to test you, to see where your loyalties lie. Does it lie with the world, or does it lie with the Word of God? But you see, nothing ever happens in the life of a believer by accident. Everything comes into our life as Father filtered. I'm not saying that God plans all the bad things that happen. He doesn't have to, because we live in a broken world. A lot of the times the things that happen to us, we cause ourselves because we're not following God. Some things happen to bring pressure and trouble in our life because of someone else's sin, and we're caught up in it. What I'm saying is that nothing comes into your life that God doesn't have a hand in. God stops a lot of things. There's things that have happened that you don't even know about where God has protected you. But when these times do come, He's there to help you get through it. He's there to strengthen you, and all you need to do is have the faith that He is in control. You see, our disappointments are His appointments. He's ready to work in our lives. But sometimes God has to come up with a custom problem just for you. Customized. Jonah had a customized made problem. Jonah 2:7 says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Sometimes God causes problems that just swallow you up, just like Jonah was swallowed up. So problems are so overwhelming, you finally get to that point in your life where you say, "Okay, God, I can't handle it on my own. I have to have faith that you'll bring me through this. I have to have faith that you have my best interests at heart." And that's when your faith begins to grow. When you turn away from yourself and you turn back to God. There's a great verse to remember when you're going through those tough times. It's Isaiah 48:10. It says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." We have all been in the furnace of affliction. That's when that pain is so overwhelming, or you're thinking, "God, where are you? I need you in my life." But see, you're being tested. You're being tested to see where you're going to go. Are you going to turn to God? Can you pass the test? The Bible frequently compares our problems and difficulties to the furnace, and talks about burning away the impurities. There's a story of an old silversmith who was once asked, "How do you know when the impurities are burned away in the silver?" He said, "When I can see my reflection in the silver." And that's how it is in our life when we're in that furnace of affliction. God's burning away the impurities in our lives till He can see His reflection in our lives. People should be able to see the reflection of God in everything we do if we say we're a born-again believer. How should I respond when I'm going through these difficulties? James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." James is saying when you have a problem, you need to be joyful. Thank God. Give God the praises. But you know, sometimes when I'm going through those problems, I have a hard time thanking God that I'm in the middle. "Really, God? I'm supposed to thank you now?" Well, yeah, we are, because He's with us. We need to remember that God has a plan for our lives. And whatever He's taken us through is going to burn away those impurities. He's going to sharpen us to be a better tool for Him. You see, He has a purpose. Maybe I don't realize it right now. But His purpose is greater than any pain or any suffering that I'm going through. God tests our faith through these difficulties. He builds it, and not through the easy times. He builds our faith through the tough times when he's stretching our muscles. Number two, God tests our faith through demands. There are, just in the New Testament, there's 1,050 commands for believers to obey. Of all these commands, some of them seem unreasonable, some of them seem inconvenient, and some of them seem downright impossible. So what do you do when you receive a seemingly impossible command? Who is it you're going to trust? Am I going to believe that what God commands me to do I can accomplish? Or am I going to think, I can't do that, God, so I'm not even going to try it? Every time God gives us a command in the Bible, he puts a demand upon our lives. Like, confess your faults to one another. That's a test. That's a command. That's a demand on your life. Like, don't worry about anything. Anybody struggle with that one? Can you say, I never worry about anything? Well, that's a demand on your life, because that's a command out of the New Testament. What about forgive other people? There's a hard one, but that's a demand on your life from God. Or how about be thankful in everything? I just said I have trouble being thankful when I'm being tested, but I should be. The test is, am I going to trust what God wants to do, what God says he's going to do, or am I going to trust my own opinion and what I think is right before my own eyes? There's hundreds of examples in the Bible of people that obeyed God. God said, do this. They trusted him. They had faith. And even though it didn't make sense, they did it. The people of Israel were on the way from Egypt to the promised land. God put a demand on their life, something called manna. And that was a command. Manna was a bread-like substance that fell from the sky. They had to go out each morning to gather just enough to eat for that day. God said, here's the command. All you get is enough for one day. We find that in Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my laws or not. There's all kinds of reasons that command didn't make sense. God, just enough for today? That's kind of wasting my time. How about if I gather enough for a week and you just make it rain manna once a week? That would work better for me, be more convenient. Or just enough for today? What if I oversleep tomorrow and I don't get out there soon enough to get my manna, I'll go hungry. Gather enough for 2 days would work better for me, God. God, what if I trip and hit my head or a snake bites me? When will I do about my manna then? God, it'd make way more sense to me to let me gather 2 days worth or a week's worth. But it doesn't have to make sense to us. That's not the point. The point is, I want to test you every day to see if you believe me, if you trust me, that I'll meet your day-to-day needs. Every day in your life, I'm going to pour out manna from heaven, and you're going to gather it for that day. And then the next day, and a day after that, and a day after that. But see, that's not so far from our lives today, is it? God pours out his blessings every day upon us, and he wants us to gather those blessings up. The blessings for that day. And then tomorrow, he'll bless us again. But we have to do this in faith. We have to trust God that he loves us every day, that he'll bless us every day, that he'll meet our needs every day. God comes to a guy named Noah one day and says, Noah, I've got a demand on your life. I want you to build an ark. Well, remember, Noah lived in the wilderness. You might as well say Noah lived in a desert. God says, I want you to build an ark because it's going to flood. Well, the Bible says up until that time it didn't rain. The water come up through the ground like a mist. It never rained. But God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain. Now, if you was Noah, what were you going to do? I don't know what rain is. I don't know what a flood is. But I know who God is. So I'm going to build an ark in the middle of the desert because God says so. And the Bible said, by faith, Noah built an ark. God tests our faith and he does it through difficult situations. God tests our faith and he does it through demands. And what's the lesson with this one? If I want to learn to live by faith, I must learn to rejoice continually. I have to learn to obey immediately. When God says I do it, to do it, I do it, whether I understand it or not. Whether it makes sense to me or not, I do it. Because I know that what God has asked me to do is for my own good. My faith in God will get me through it. The third one I want to share with you is maybe the toughest. It seems to strike the most nerves. And that's that God tests our faith with dollars. I'm talking about money. Did you know that the money is one of the greatest tests of your faith? Few people understand how God uses our material possessions as a test of character and a test of faith. They have no idea that God is actually testing them when they go into debt. Luke 16:11 says, therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, and that's your dollars, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What's Jesus talking about here? He's giving you a truth that's all through the scriptures. There's a direct relationship between how I handle my money and the spiritual depth of my life. Jesus said, if I'm not faithful in handling material wealth, he will not trust me with spiritual wealth. If I'm not faithful with my possessions, he will not trust me with spiritual power. Money is a test. All you have to do is take your checkbook out and look at it. See where your money goes to see if you're passing the test or not. The fact is, what I do with my money determines how much God blesses my life. Now, you may not believe that, but I assure you that it's true. You never thought it had a real impact on your spiritual blessings. But I've learned in my life that God calls on us to do certain things. It's a test of faith every time I put my money, every time I put my tithe in that offering plate. You see, the human side of me knows that I could be using that money to pay bills, or I could be using that money to add to my material possessions. And I'm sure that's crossed every one of your minds. The fact is, every time I give to God, my faith grows. Every time I give, it breaks my grip on materialism in my life. I grow in hope, I grow in faith, and I grow in maturity. In 1 Chronicles, in verse 29, the Bible tells how David and the people of Israel raised money to build the temple. God told them to raise the money and they gave sacrificially. And David summed it up in verse 14 where he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you and of your own we have given you. David realized something. When it's all said and done, all we have belongs to God anyway. And who are we to hold back from God the things that are already His? God doesn't make that great of a demand on our lives. One-tenth is a tithe. One-tenth of everything you make. But it's a test. This morning I want you to evaluate yourselves on how much faith your giving reveals. Be completely honest with yourselves. If God looked at what you gave him, where you spend your money, would God say that you really trust him? Or do you lack faith in what his word says? But you see, God goes even farther than that. Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is God's house right here. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Right here, God gives you permission to test him. He says, try me, test me. I'm going to play a game with you. You give to me and then I give to you. Let's see who can outgive the other. I dare you to test God in your life. I dare you to take God up on that challenge. I dare you to put him to the test and see that he keeps his promises. That will stretch your faith. I can say I've been down that road personally. What a struggle it was the first time I had to start tithing. You know, I was a fairly young Christian. And I didn't quite make the connection with why God wants my little bit of money with all he has. But it wasn't a question of money. It's never a question of money with God. He owns it all. He owns the chair you're sitting in today. He owns the car that you drove to this building today. The point is, God wants you to be faithful. He wants to grow your faith through such a little thing as a 10%. See, God wants to be the Lord of the difficulties in your life. He wants to be the Lord of the demands on your life. And he wants to be the Lord of the dollars of your life. The lesson is, if you want to grow in faith, you have to rejoice continually. You have to obey immediately. And you have to give to God generously. The fourth thing I want to talk about is God tests our faith through delays. And it's kind of funny because the pastor and I was talking this morning and he was talking about a delay on his life. And it just shows that how God works. He brings things around. But you know, if every prayer were answered immediately, if your every need was automatically met, if every problem was instantly solved, you wouldn't need faith. Or your faith wouldn't need to be stretched. That's not the way it works. We have to wait on things. And it's human nature that we hate to wait. We hate waiting in traffic. We hate waiting in lines. I really hate waiting in doctor's offices. We hate everything about waiting. But the largest portion of life is about waiting. See if you can identify with this. Out on 16, you got the stoplights. Two lanes of traffic going your way. The light turns red out ahead of you. You see there are some cars up there. So in your mind, do you start judging which of those cars will pull away from the light the fastest? Well, let's see. There's a farm truck here with a trailer on it. And over here is a Buick and another truck. I'm going to get in the left-hand lane because I think we'll beat that truck and the trailer. Well, a lot of times I don't choose wisely. And the other lane gets away before I do. So I had to wait a little bit. I don't know, is that a guy thing? No? No, Robin says she doesn't play that game, but maybe it is a guy thing. But waiting. We don't want to wait on God. God, we want it done now. God, I'm suffering right here, right now. God, I turn to you and I pray for guidance. I pray for a solution to the problem. So why do you make me wait? God, I need this settled today. But God, you don't understand. I'm hurting. Take care of this. But God, I don't want to wait. I want it now. But you see, God grows our faith during those times we wait on him. Let's use an example of the people of Israel again. on their way from Egypt to the promised land. They could have traveled that distance in 3 to 4 weeks. But it ended up taking them 40 years. Why all the wasted time? We see God was more interested in developing their faith than getting them from point A to point B in the quickest, fastest way. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." God is leading and we're waiting on him. God gets to see what's in our heart. You see, God is exercising our faith in him. Do you ever find yourself in a situation where you were in a hurry and you felt God wasn't? God's taking his time. What happens all the time to me? Why? Why does that happen? It's because God is more interested in growing our faith than solving the problem immediately. Isaiah 64:4 tells us that God acts on behalf of those who wait on him. It pays to be patient. And while you're waiting, remember this. God is working. You're not waiting alone. God is waiting with you. God is working in your life. He's doing things behind the scenes in your heart and other people's heart, making the moment perfect when he finally solves your problem. If I'm really going to grow in faith, I have to wait patiently, because God's not going to snap his fingers and give instant answers to every one of my prayers. He wants us to grow. At the beginning of this message, I gave you a scripture. It was Luke 17:5, where the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. I want to ask you today, do you really want God to increase your faith? Think about it. Are you willing to pray that prayer? God, increase my faith. I talked about four areas of faith. Which one of these do you need the most work on? Where are you the weakest in allowing God to grow your faith? Maybe you need to pray, God, I need you to increase my faith even through the difficulties and the struggles of my life. Maybe that's an area God's working on right now. Some of you may be going through incredibly tough times right now, but you're not alone. Pray for the Father to help you to rejoice continually and rejoice because God is with you. Maybe God is testing your faith right now through demands. Let me put that another way. What is it in your life that God has told you to do, but you haven't done yet? If there's something there, maybe it's time to pray. Lord, help me to respond immediately. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. God, give me the faith to do that. Maybe God's testing your faith through dollars. You can hardly make ends meet, and here I am standing up here today telling you that God wants you to put 10% in the offering plate. Give 10% of your as your sign to God that you're willing to obey. Maybe you're thinking, God, you don't know what I make. And I think God's answer would be, yeah, I do know what you make. I know what everybody in the world makes. But that's not the issue. The issue is faith. God says, I want to test your faith. So why is it that God touches this sensitive nerve, this financial nerve in our bodies? Because he wants to see how we'll react. Do you get mad? Do you want to run away? Do you get bitter, angry? Or do you turn to him and say, okay, God, I have faith. I trust in you to meet my needs. Maybe that's the test you're facing today. Or maybe you're facing the test of a delay. What is it you've been expecting God to do in your life? It just hasn't happened yet. You're thinking, God, when? When are you going to act? Why has it taken so long? God, you haven't answered my prayers. Maybe God has answered your prayers. And something's happening in your heart. It's happening in the heart of those around us. As we wait on Him, our faith increases. Our faith increases as He works out the plan for our life. I'll ask everybody to please stand. In a minute, we're going to open the altar up. I'm going to give each of you a chance to talk to God and personally address the issues in your life. My question again is, do you want to live by faith? Are you willing to pray? I want to encourage you to pray that dangerous prayer, Lord, increase my faith. And it's dangerous because God increases our faith by testing our faith. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want you to increase my faith. Father, I want you to grow me. I want you to stretch my faith. And I want you to make me stronger in that faith. That I trust you. I have faith that you will meet my needs day by day, Father. That you will always be there. You'll be beside me with every problem, every situation that comes across my life. That you'll walk with me in my times of pain. That you'll be with me in the times of joy. And Father, I pray that you will help me to rejoice always, to always have a forgiving heart, to always look to you for my leadership. And Father, I just pray that you will burn away the impurities, that I may reflect Jesus Christ back into this world. Father, I come to you and I just claim Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, that you are my spiritual Father. And I lay all this before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.